The people of the town of Chance turned out en masse to watch as Frank escorted the women into the town. No one cheered. They all stood in silence and simply watched. Frank reined up in front of Doc Evans' office, and the women quickly got out of the wagon and went into the office. None of the women said a word to any of the townspeople. Frank stood outside the office to make sure no one else went in.
Frank, my daughter.
She's alive, George.
Oh, thank God. I gotta get home and tell her mother.
My estranged wife, Mr. Morgan.
She's alive, John. All the women who were taken from this town are alive.
After being gone for several weeks and having been sexually, entertained numerous times by various men, the women being alive, as you put it, is purely a matter of opinion. Why, you... I'll sue you! Go home, John, before Frank tears your head off and hands it to you.
Frank, go tell the barber to heat up all the water he can and lay out all the tubs. Then go over to O'Malley's and tell Mrs. O'Malley to give you some good-smelling women's soap.
Will do, Doc.
And you need to find yourself some good strong soap and a horse trough, too.
Thanks a lot, Doc.
Johnny Vargas stopped Frank before he got to the general store.
Lucked out again, hey, Drifter?
This time I'd have to agree with you about that, Johnny.
Did you get Val?
No, or Little Ed.
Little Ed really hooked up with Val. That don't surprise me none. I heard they'd been plotting something even before Little Ed got in trouble. You look rough, Drifter. You better get some rest and get cleaned up. You and me are gonna settle something tomorrow.
What?
Who's the fastest gun? I'll see you at noon tomorrow, Drifter. Right out there in that street.
It was just after 11 o'clock. Frank and Doc Evans were sitting in the Bluebird Cafe having coffee. Doc Evans was watching the minutes tick away on the clock.
Can't you do something about this fight, Frank?
I don't know what I could do, Doc. Johnny has been wanting a showdown for a long time. It had to happen.
Tom could arrest him.
On what charge? Johnny hasn't broke any laws that I know of.
Threatening a peace officer.
This is still the West, Doc. A man gets called out, he either meets his challenger or leaves town.
And you're not planning on leaving town?
Not because of Johnny Vargas.
Can you beat him, Frank?
It'll be close, Doc. Johnny's real fast. Doc, how about those young girls who were raped?
What do you mean?
Chances of them being with child.
I did what I could, Frank. Doctors, many of us that is, keep a small amount of grain that has been contaminated by a certain fungus. It can induce labor. It doesn't always work, but it's the best I can do.
And the woman who won't speak?
She's in shock, Frank. She might come out of it in the next 5 minutes. She might never come out of it. If you ask me to guess, I'd say she's heading for an asylum. And those are very grim places.
So I've heard.
Back to this Johnny Vargas.
He often misses his first shot.
Frank, why not just get a shotgun and blow him out of his boots?
Because we're gunfighters, Doc.
What the hell has that got to do with the situation?
It's an unwritten code, Doc.
Nonsense.
Lara called it a man thing.
Now, about you and Lara.
That's over, Doc. Before it even had a chance to properly begin.
Give her some time, Frank.
That won't solve a thing, Doc. She doesn't like the West. She wants to go back east where it's civilized.
Well, I'm from the East. You couldn't get me back there with a sledgehammer and a pry bar. You don't appear all that nervous, Frank.
I've done this many times, Doc. Nothing to get nervous about.
It's life and death, man.
On another matter, the women gave me a list of names of the men who assaulted them.
And you'll be going after them?
You bet I will.
A personal vendetta, Frank?
You can call it that.
Where is this Vargas person? Getting drunk in the Purple Lily?
No, I assure you Johnny will be cold sober when we meet. He's a professional.
The one thing I have never understood about the West, a professional gunfighter. How do you make a living doing that?
Before he could reply to Doc Evans' question, he saw Johnny Vargas step out of the hotel and onto the boardwalk.
I guess Johnny got impatient. There he is.
So now you walk out, and soon one of you will be dead.
That's the way it usually goes, Doc.
You don't appear to be in any hurry.
I'm gonna finish my coffee. Let Johnny wait. He'll get a little jumpy when I don't immediately show up.
You've given these showdowns some thought, haven't you?
I've had plenty of practice.
Both men watched as the main street of town was quickly cleared of people and horses.
It isn't yet noon, Frank.
Oh, we'll stand on opposite sides of the street. Have a stare down for a few minutes. That's the way it usually goes.
One trying to intimidate the other?
Something like that.
I don't like this, Frank. Not at all. The town has plans for you to stay and be part of this community.
I won't be staying, Doc. I'll be pulling out very soon. I got some justice I gotta deliver.
Well, maybe we can change your mind about that.
Don't count on it.
Frank walked out of the cafe, leaned up against a support post, and then looked over at Johnny Vargas. The men stared at each other in silence across the wide street. The townspeople who had remained on the main street quickly stepped into stores. Johnny stepped off the boardwalk and walked to the center of the street. Frank also walked to the center and turned slowly to face Johnny Vargas.
This has to be, Drifter. It just has to be. You know that, don't you?
No, but if that's what you think, so be it.
One of us has to be top dog, Drifter. There isn't room at the top for both of us.
You say so, Johnny.
You're getting old, Drifter. You should have hung up your guns a long time ago. It didn't have to end like this. What are you smiling about, Drifter?
What's the matter, Johnny?
What do you mean, Drifter?
You're scared, Johnny. I can almost smell the fear on you.
That's a damn lie, Drifter.
Nah, Johnny, it's the truth. That's sweat running down your face. And it's a cool day. You don't see me sweating.
Damn you to hell, Drifter!
Walk away, Johnny. Do it now and live.
I can't, Drifter. I can't do it. I done made my brags and I've got to see it through.
Don't be a fool. Man, you got a chance to live. Don't force me to pull on you. Don't do it.
No, Drifter. It has to be this way.
What's wrong, Johnny? Tell me what's the matter.
Nothing.
You're lying.
I ain't lying, Drifter. Don't push me on this.
Nah, Johnny, something's wrong with you. What is it? Tell me, Johnny.
Damn you, Drifter. I've got the cancer in my belly. The doctors say I'm dying. But I'm going out knowing I got lead in you.
Who in town knows about it?
No one. And I'd be obliged if it stayed that way. Providing, of course, you somehow luck up and beat me.
I'll beat you, Johnny. I'll make my shot true. Stop the pain.
You bastard. You arrogant bastard. I've always admired and hated you at the same time.
I never hated you, Johnny. Never had any reason to. Hate is a mighty strong word.
Yeah, I reckon it is. You ready, Drifter?
Only if you are, Johnny.
I'll see you in hell, Drifter.
Drag iron, Johnny.
The bullet from Johnny's pistol nicked Frank on the arm. Frank's bullet hit Johnny Vargas in the center of the chest and knocked him down in the dirt.
Damn, you're good, Drifter. I thought sure I could take you.
Sorry about this, Johnny.
At least, it was you done me in. I'm glad about that. I'll see you, Frank Morgan.
You're hurt, Frank.
Just a nick, Doc. A little bit of horse liniment, he'll be fine.
Well, he's dead, Frank. My God, I never even saw you men draw. I've never seen anything that fast.
I damn sure never seen nothing like it.
The telegrapher's right now wiring up and down the line.
What's he wiring?
That Frank Morgan killed Johnny Vargas in a stand-up and hook-and-draw in the middle of the street.
Oh, hi, Pennybaker. Looks like you got yourself some business.
You reckon he's got any money?
Sure he does.
Then I'll give him a right nice funeral. If he's got 50 extra dollars, I'll have a band and some moaners and wailers, too.
I think Johnny would have liked that.
Consider it done, Mr. Morgan.
Come on over to my office, Frank. I want to look at that arm.
Frank looked up at a hotel window. Laura was standing there. She frowned at him and turned away.
So much for that.
Oh, give her time, Frank. She's had quite a terrible experience.
I'd give her all the time in the world if I thought it would do any good. But it won't.
The nick Frank had received was cleaned out and a small bandage put over it.
You'll live, Frank. At least for now.
I'll be pulling out in the morning, Doc.
So soon?
Yeah, with the news of my killing Johnny Vargas out over the wire. There'll be gunslingers heading this way to try their luck with me. It'll be better for the town if I ride out as quickly as possible.
Reluctantly, I have to agree with you.
I'll go provision up now, Doc. Get the pack saddle ready to load. Catch you later at the cafe.
Frank went to O'Malley's and bought coffee, bacon, flour, sugar, beans, potatoes, and a dozen cans of bully beef for Wolf. Jack O'Malley refused to let him pay for any of it.
No way, Frank. This town owes you too much. I'll be sorry to see you go.
Thanks, Jack. I'll see you again before I ride out.
I'm counting on it.
Frank was almost ready. He planned on going to sleep early and pulling out long before dawn. He walked the main street, stopping at various stores and shops to say his goodbyes. Then Frank walked over to the marshal's office. Tom had just made a fresh pot of coffee. Frank poured a cup and sugared it, then sat down.
Really hate to see you go, Frank. I was hoping you might decide to settle down here with us.
It's a nice town, Tom, but settling down is not in the cards for me. Not yet, anyway.
You told Laura you leaving?
She knows, in a way.
Well, whatever the hell that means.
I'll be pulling out before dawn.
Going after the men who kidnapped and raped the women?
Yeah.
You know where I wished you'd shoot them.
I can guess.
I expect the women had the same wish.
I imagine they'd rather I'd use a knife on a certain part of their anatomy.
You're probably right about that.
Good knowing you, Tom.
Good knowing you, Frank. Thanks for all your help, and Godspeed and good luck.
Good afternoon, Frank.
Laura, I know it's not proper for a man to enter a lady's hotel room, but...
Oh, pish-posh, Frank. Come on in.
I'll be pulling out in the morning, Laura. I wanted to say goodbye.
I'm glad you came by, Frank. I would have been hurt had you not done so.
I really didn't know if you wanted to see me.
I was hurt when you told me you would not come east with me. I'll admit that. But I see now that you would be terribly uncomfortable living back east. You're a man of the West, a man of direct action. You're a man's man, Frank. And the perfect woman's man, too, I must admit. Just not this woman, I'm sorry to say. I should have taken all those things into consideration before I asked you.
Will you be all right, Laura?
I have family to look after me, Frank. But thank you for asking.
Do you know where you'll be staying back east?
Oh, yes. But I think that when we part today, this should be the end of whatever we were building between us.
If you say so.
You don't think so?
I really don't know, Laura. But you're probably right. I shall, of course, certainly respect your wishes.
I thank you for that, Frank. Will you be leaving early in the morning?
Very early, Laura.
Then I guess this is really goodbye.
I suppose so.
I enjoyed knowing you, Frank, however brief it was.
And I enjoyed our time together, Laura.
I shall miss you, Frank Morgan.
I'll think of you often, Laura.
And I you, Frank. But in time, all memories fade.
I suppose so. What about your son?
That is something that will have to be worked out before I leave.
Tom will help you. It's old Jack and Ginny O'Malley.
I'm sure they will.
Goodbye, Laura.
Goodbye, Frank.
Hang on there, Wolf. I'm just about ready to head out.
Frank led Stormy out of his stall and swung into the saddle. His pack horse was trained to follow. Rarely did Frank have to use a lead rope. Frank rode out of town, heading west. In a couple of days, he would cut due south. He would make inquiries at every town and country store along the way about the men he was hunting. The West was a big place, but most areas were still sparsely populated. He knew that some of the outlaws were from parts of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Others were from Southern and Central California. Jack Rice, one of Val's lieutenants, was from the Sierra Madre Range. Jack was a bad one, an unusually cruel man who enjoyed inflicting a lot of pain on his victims. Jack was one of the men who had brutalized and helped drive mad the silent woman Frank had brought back. At noon of the fourth day out, Frank reined up at a small settlement located at a crossroads. It was a two-store, four-house hamlet. The largest store was a combination general store and saloon. Frank looked at the four horses tied at the hitch rail in front, then dismounted, slipped the hammer thong from his peacemaker, and entered the saloon.
Well, howdy, stranger. What'll it be?
Got any food?
You bet I do. Best stew you ever ate. Got some fresh baked bread to go with it.
Any coffee?
All you can drink, and it's fresh. I just made it. I'm a coffee-drinking man myself.
Something to eat and a pot of coffee.
Coming right up.
Frank took a table with his back to a wall and glanced over at the three men sitting at the rear of the room. They were playing cards, drinking whiskey, and being very careful to avoid looking at him.
Them old boys is bad ones, I'm thinking. They got that look about them.
Not as bad as I am.
Oh, lordy, lordy. The Drifter, Frank Morgan. Good God almighty.
You stay ready to hit the floor, partner.
Well, thanks. I done made up my mind to do that.
Frank ate his stew, and it was very good eating. When he had finished his second bowl of stew, Frank poured another cup of coffee and rolled a smoke.
Good grub, mister. Best I had in a while.
Well, thank you. My wife is a good cook. Got some donuts, too, if you'd like some.
I'll take a sackful. A big sackful. You got any scraps for my dog?
I sure do. I seen that big animal out there. Does he bite?
Sometimes.
I'll fight shy of him, then.
Son of a bitch bites me, I'll kill him.
He won't bite you unless you mess with him. But you harm my dog, I'll kill you. You and anyone else who wants to buy into the hand.
Huh. You talk big, mister.
I can back it up.
I think you're gonna have to.
Anytime you're ready.
You're crazy. There's three of us and one of you.
That's Frank Morgan.
So what? I'm Ted Brown. These boys with me is Hal and Snowy. Now that we're all introduced, why don't you leave, Morgan, or whatever your name is?
I like it here. And my name is Frank Morgan.
I don't believe you're Frank Morgan. I heard Morgan got killed over in Montana or Wyoming or some damn place.
You heard wrong.
I think you're a liar, mister. That's what I think.
I think you're a fool.
I've killed men for less than that.
You won't kill this man.
You about a smart aleck, aren't you?
He's scared. I can see it in his eyes. He's scared of us.
I wish you boys would take this outside.
Shut up!
Yes, sir?
You're scared of us, ain't you?
No.
He is, too.
Hey!
Jimmy? Ross?
You heard the news?
What news?
Frank Morgan killed Johnny Vargas about 4 or 5 days ago. Little town north and some west of here.
Well, shit, look, it's him! That's Frank Morgan. Damned if it ain't him sitting here drinking coffee.
Shit, that's it. I'm out of this, all the way out.
He tried to tell you, boys. He surely did.
Well, I'm listening now.
Well, Frank Morgan don't mean skunk piss to me.
I'm out of this, too.
Doesn't have to be, boys. Let's just call it a misunderstanding that got out of hand. How about it?
I told y'all he's yeller. He's as sorry as that damn ugly dog of his outside.
I believe he heard you.
Huh? You trying to tell me that that damn dog of yours can understand people talk? You're not only yeller, you're stupid. You think this is funny?
Yeah, I think so. And I also think you aren't worth wasting any more of my time. So I think I'll leave after I pay for my meal.
It's on the house, Mr. Morgan.
Don't you turn your ass to me, mister. I'll plug you if you do. I swear I'll shoot you.
So now you're telling me you're a back shooter.
Let it drop, Hal. The man has given you an out. Take it and let's get the hell out of here.
I ain't running. Not from no old chicken fart like this one.
Why, you're a fool.
You shut your mouth.
No, sir. I will do no such thing. Morgan give you all the way out. You won't take it. Now you're going to keep pushing him, and he's going to kill you. Then I'll have me a big mess to clean up. Now, Hal, you sit down and cool off.
Shut your blowhole. Draw, Morgan. Draw or I'll shoot you where you stand. You understand?
I understand.
Now!
Good God! He's fast as lightning.
Can I see to my part, Morgan?
Go ahead.
Stoney knelt down on the floor and opened his friend's shirt. After a moment, he stood up.
He ain't gonna make it. He's hard hit.
Oh, I don't want to die.
He should have thought of that before he braced Frank Morgan.
It was the whiskey talking in all of us. It was the whiskey that killed him.
It's getting mighty dark in here. Is the sun going down?
You want to fix that bag of scraps for my dog?
Oh, I'll do that right now, Mr. Morgan. You fixing to leave?
Soon.
It's getting awful dark in here, Stoney. I'm scared.
You want some whiskey for the pain?
No. The pain doesn't stop, Stoney. What does that mean?
I don't know, partner.
Oh, it's real peaceful in the dark. Real peaceful.
Me and Hal rode a lot of trails together. He really wasn't a bad fella. He just had more guts and sense. I don't hold nothing against you, Mr. Morgan. You done what you had to do.
Did he have any family?
Some back in Missouri, I think. But he ain't heard from them in years and years.
Well, he's a small graveyard out back, right next to the woods. Y'all can plant him back yonder if you like.
You know any words to say over him?
I reckon I could come up with a verse or three.
You got any shovels?
Out back in the shed.
Much obliged.
Oh, my pleasure, Mr. Morgan. I need a drink.
At a county sheriff's office, 2 days after the shootout in the old country saloon, Frank introduced himself and was invited into the office for a cup of coffee and some conversation.
Heard about your work in busting up the Dooley gang, Frank. Damn nice piece of work. What can I do for you?
Tell me where I can find the rest of the gang.
Well, now, Frank, I can't do that. But I just might be able to put you on the track of Bloody Mama and Sadie. And wherever you find those two, you might find some of the gang. Interested?
They close by?
Couple days ride south of here, way out of my jurisdiction.
Killing a woman doesn't set well with me, Sheriff.
Put that thought out of your mind, Frank. Those two ain't of the female species, you ask me. They're cold-blooded and brutal. Vicious as any man you ever heard of. You put one of them in a cage with a puma, you better bet against the cat.
So I heard.
Besides, they aren't alone. They've got half a dozen men with them. I'll draw you a map. It's rough country, and I sure can't guarantee you'll find them.
I'll find them.
Yeah, I reckon you will at that.
What men? Do you know?
I don't have any idea, Frank. But if they're riding with Bloody Mama and Sadie, they're as worthless as a bucket of buzzard puke.
You're probably right about that.
You bet I am. Here, let me draw your map. Their hideout is near an old army fort, right on the edge of this range here. Been deserted for all near about 20 years, I reckon, maybe longer. Here you go. Good luck, Frank.
Thanks. Good coffee.
Stop by any time.
Mind if I grab a meal while I'm in town?
Why should I mind? Marshal Tom Wright has wired all over the southern part of the state about you.
What about me?
You never officially resigned your deputy sheriff's commission, Frank. You're still a legal marshal's deputy tracking down criminals that committed a crime in your jurisdiction. You're just as legal as I am.
Well, he's right. I guess I didn't.
Good luck, deputy.
After hours of riding across rough country, Frank stopped by a creek to water his horses and fill his canteen.
Easy now, boy. Be quiet.
Oh, damn, it's hot.
Yeah. Let's stop and get a drink and rest some.
Good idea.
I've been seeing Sadie giving you the eye lately, Leo. I reckon she's got plans for you this evening.
Now, she can go to hell too, Tanner. I'd sooner bed down with a damn hog than with that woman.
Well, that leaves Bloody Mama.
That's even worser. That woman makes me want to puke. You know, I think it's time we pulled another raid and got us some good-looking young stuff.
Yeah, Bloody Mama says we're gonna do that next week sometime. Town about 40 miles south of here.
No fooling.
No fooling. We're gonna hit a church whilst Sunday services is going on. The men won't be armed, and the women will be aplenty.
Ah, that there is a damn fine idea.
Howdy, boys.
Morgan! Oh!
You boys are a couple of sorry pieces of trash.
Well, you ain't got no call to talk to us like that, Morgan. Not after what you just done.
I want a drink of water.
With the stomach wound? You know that's not good for you. Might make you worse. You'd end up dying.
Your bullet tore up my innards, Morgan. I'm hard hit. I ain't gonna make it. There's some whiskey in my saddlebags. Would you fetch the bottle for me?
Why should I?
Because it's a Christian thing to do.
You were looking forward to raiding a church on Sunday morning, killing some men, kidnapping women to rape them, and possibly selling them into prostitution. And you dare to speak the word Christian to me.
You go to hell, Morgan.
Damn you, Morgan. You're just as bad as you claim we are.
Maybe, but I'll make a deal with you.
Deal? What kind of deal?
You tell me everything about your hideout, the people there, and I'll get you all the whiskey and water you want, string a ground sheet over you for shade, and then ride out and let you die in peace.
And if we don't?
I'll leave you here and let the ants and snakes have you.
You'd do it too, wouldn't you, Morgan?
Try me.
All right, I'll tell you, Morgan, I'll tell you, and it'll be the truth, too.
I'm listening.
Okay, besides Bloody Mama and Sadie, there are four men hiding out in the buildings of an old fort we're using as a hideout. How's Tanner?
Still alive.
I guess it won't be long for me.
Probably not.
Figures. Guess I should have...
Did Leo croak?
Yeah, just then.
I hope one of them boys at the fort gut shoots you, Morgan. I hope you die hard, you sorry son of a bitch.
So nice of you to care.
Two hours later, Frank was hidden in a jumble of boulders, studying the layout of the old army fort. The crumbling buildings were about 75 yards away. He could see no activity. The corral where the outlaws' horses were being held was about 50 yards behind the only building where a very faint whisper of smoke was coming out of the stone chimney.
Probably using it to keep the coffee hot. Well, at least if they try to run for their horses, I'll nail some of them.
As that thought was fading from Frank's mind, a man stepped out of the large building and looked toward the north.
Probably looking for Leo and Tanner.
The man turned and said something to a person standing inside. A few seconds later, Bloody Mama stepped out, dressed in men's bib overalls. Frank lifted his rifle and started to sight her in, then shifted the muzzle.
Oh, damn it. I just can't do it. Even if Bloody Mama's just as bad, if not worse, than any of the men who ride with her, shooting a woman just doesn't set well with me. Of course, if she ever shoots at me, that'd be a horse of a different color.
Frank shot the man standing next to the woman. The man was knocked to the ground by the .44-40 slug, and Bloody Mama leaped for the open door.
It's a raid! Lawmen have found us!
Lawmen, my ass! I bet that's Frank Morgan!
Kill that bastard! Kill him, I say!
You kill him, Mama!
Don't you argue with me, Willis! Go get him! Avenge your partner, Jerry! He's laying out yonder in the sun, dead and starting to stink! You hear me, you turd? Go get him!
Go fuck yourself sideways, you fat old cunt!
Blow it out your ass, Willis!
And that goes double for me, Willis! You sorry piece of buffalo shit!
Open fire on that shooter!
Frank hunkered down in the boulders as the lead began howling all around him.
Santos! You and Neil go left and right and get behind that shooter! Move it!
You go left or right, Sadie. Get your ass shot off!
Why, you cowardly ass shitbag! Mama, we sure hooked up with some yeller bellies this run.
Damn straight we did. I reckon you and me are gonna have to handle this ourselves.
I ain't never met a man that was worth a crap for anything other than a good hump. And most of them ain't even good for that.
This gunfire will bring Tanner and Leo back here.
Tanner and Leo are dead, you stupid bastard. Morgan, you can bet your stinking drawers that's Morgan out there. Killed them both.
We'll wait him out. Come, Doc. We'll get him.
Suits me.
Frank settled into a more comfortable position in the boulders and waited. If Sadie and Bloody Mama had counted on the night hiding them, they were sadly mistaken. The moon was full and bright, and the heavens were sparkling with stars. Frank left the rocks and began crawling on his belly, slowly and carefully, toward the large building, hoping he would not run into a rattlesnake along the way. When he reached the building, he paused beneath a broken window and listened.
I ain't going out there. Morgan's just waiting for one of us to make that stupid old move.
Me neither. We got food and water in here. I say we wait him out.
Cowards! Craven cowards, all of you!
Why don't you haul your ass out there then? So far, all you've done is run that mouth of yours.
By God, Benny, you can't talk to me like that.
I just did, Sadie.
Frank leaned his rifle against the building, pulled his peacemaker and his spare Colt from leather, and cocked them. Then he rose to his feet and sprayed the inside with lead. When Frank was empty, he grabbed his rifle and took off running. He knelt by the side of a building and quickly reloaded.
I'll kill you, Morgan! God damn you, Drifter! You shot me, Duke!
Penelope?
Her real name was Penelope.
Are you all right, baby? Damn you, Morgan! I'll see you in hell!
Sadie stuck the muzzle of the rifle in her mouth. She fell to the rocky ground, dead next to her friend in crime.
That's it, Morgan. Me and Santos is all that's left in here. Neil is hard hit. Willis is dead.
Step out where I can see you.
Two men stepped out of the building to stand in the moonlight, their hands raised. They carried no weapons that Frank could see.
I'm Vinny. This here's Santos.
You ride with Val Dooley?
I never met the man. Sadie and Mama rode with him. They told us all about the kidnapping of them women and you coming after them. I don't want no more trouble with you, Morgan, and that's the truth.
Saddle your horses and ride out of here. Don't ever let me run into either of you again. If I do, I'll kill you. Understood?
Plain as day, Morgan.
Can we go get our guns?
What do you think?
I think I'd better shut my mouth and get gone.
Wise decision. Get out of here!
Santos and Vinny quickly saddled up under Frank's watchful eye and rode out. When Frank was reasonably certain they were gone, at least for the night, he checked on those outlaws remaining in the building. They were dead. Frank dragged the bodies out and into a shed on the edge of the old fort's perimeter. He did the same with the bodies of Bloody Mama and Sadie. He gathered up all the guns and tossed them into the building, then went about picking up old boards until he had enough to keep a blaze burning for a long time. He put them both inside and outside the shed, then saturated everything with kerosene he found in the outlaws' quarters. Frank set the building blazing, a funeral pyre for the already damned. He knew where he was going next, for he had found a map with a note among the women's personal belongings. The note was from a man called Curly. Frank knew him from years back, and Curly Lewis was a bad one, cruel and mean. Bloody Mama and Sadie were going to hook up with Curly and his bunch in a few weeks.
Well now, Curly, I got a little surprise for you. Bloody Mama and Sadie will be unable to make it, but I'll come in their place. Count on it.
In a cafe, Frank overheard talk about the breakup of the Val Dooley gang and the shootout with Johnny Vargas while he enjoyed his meal.
That Frank Morgan must be a ring-tailed tutor. I guess all them things that's written and said about him are true.
I reckon so. I'd like to see that fellow just one time.
Well, what would you say to him?
I don't know. Howdy, I guess.
I hear he's a big man. 6'5" or 6", 275 pounds. And he's killed men with just one blow from his big fist.
No, he's not none of them things. I've seen pictures of him. He's about 6 feet tall, built up pretty good in the shoulders and arms. But he ain't no giant. As a matter of fact, he sort of looks like that fella right there.
Don't Morgan carry a peacemaker?
Yeah, he does.
So does this fella. And it's tied down, too.
My God in heaven. That's the Drifter, Frank Morgan.
Are you really Frank Morgan?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Can I have some more coffee, please?
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Morgan, you sure can. How about some apple pie to go with it?
Oh, that'd be real nice.
Frank watched as a local beat it out of the cafe, grabbed the first person he came to, and began talking and pointing. Within minutes, a large man with a star on his vest pushed his way through and entered the cafe.
Frank Morgan?
Right here, Sheriff.
Coffee, Wilma. Telegraph wire's been humming with misters for you for near about a week, Morgan.
Oh?
Yeah, from a Dr. Evans and a Marshal Tom Wright. You know them?
Sure do. What's up?
You want to read them, or you want me to just tell you?
Tell me. You can give me the wires later.
You rescued some women that had been kidnapped, right?
Yeah, that's right.
One of them was in shock. Couldn't speak.
Yeah.
She committed suicide. Hanged herself.
Damn.
Sheriff Davis over in Deweyville has a sister about half crazy.
Yeah, that pretty well describes Alberta.
Yeah, that's her name. She's been placed in an asylum.
Well, that's no surprise.
A couple of more things. You familiar with somebody named Little Ed Simpson?
Yeah, what about him?
His mother killed him. Shot him stone dead when the boy pulled a gun on his father. The father caught the boy trying to steal some horses. That must have been a very strange family.
Was and is, Sheriff.
A woman named Laura Witter. You familiar with her?
Yeah.
Her and her son, a boy named Johnny, were kidnapped by some remaining members of the Val Dooley gang. Word is that they're heading for, or are already in, Southern California. Maybe right here in this area.
Any word on who kidnapped him?
Gooden Nolan is the leader of the gang.
I know him. Was there any good news?
Afraid not. Marshal Wright says you're a deputy sheriff. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sort of out of your jurisdiction, aren't you?
Might say that.
You gonna start trouble in this county?
I don't plan to.
I don't know just how a gunfighter got to be a lawman, but right on, Morgan. Get out of my county.
You object if I finish my pie?
No. You can provision up, get a bath and a haircut and shave if you like, then move on. Because I think when you find the man who kidnapped the woman and her boy, there's going to be a bloodbath. And I'd rather not have that in my county.
You think Goody's in your county?
No. I think he's southwest of here, in the desert. Maybe in the Sierra Madres.
You trying to tell me something, Sheriff?
Could be. Good on, Morgan.
Frank found Art Butler 2 days later at a combination general store roadhouse. There were only 4 people in the place. Frank, Butler, the bartender owner, and a sales clerk. Frank walked up to Butler and knocked him to the floor with one punch, then jerked the man's pistol from leather and tossed it on the bar.
You and your clerk go outside and get some fresh air. I have some business to discuss with this man.
You're Frank Morgan, ain't you?
Yeah.
Take all the time you need, Mr. Morgan.
I know what you're gonna do, Morgan. Just make it quick, that's all I ask.
Frank slowly took a long-bladed knife from a sheath on his belt.
That all depends on you, Butler.
What do you mean?
You were one of the men who went back to town and kidnapped Laura Witter and her son. Where are they?
You're gonna let me live if I tell you?
I'll give you a chance to live.
Well, they was alive when I left them, Morgan. I can tell you that much.
Did you rape Laura?
Yeah, I did. We all did. And Freckles Burton, well, he took a shine to the boy, if you know what I mean.
Ah, damn you.
I didn't do nothing to the boy, Morgan. I ain't like that, but Freckles, he's, well, sort of strange that way.
But you let it happen, you son of a bitch.
No, I couldn't help it. You know, Freckles is crazy and snake quick with a colt.
Where are they? And don't lie to me, Butler, or I'll make this last a long time.
Not far, Morgan. About an easy 2-day ride to the south. We was going into the mountains, but Freckles was having himself a time with the boy and...
Shut up about your perversions with Johnny.
No, I didn't touch you, Morgan. I swear to God, I didn't.
Why did you leave the gang?
Well, I got tired of hearing the boy whimper and the woman holler when the men...
Butler suddenly jerked out a knife and lunged at Frank.
Yeah!
Frank sidestepped and buried the big blade of his bowie into the man's stomach and twisted. Frank let the outlaw fall to the floor and die. Frank wiped the bloody blade on Butler's shirt.
Bartender.
Yes, sir?
You can have his horse and what's in his pockets if you'll bury that bastard in there.
I can do that, Mr. Morgan. Say, that's a right unfriendly dog of yours.
He takes after me.
Frank made his way slowly toward the campfire, stopping about 25 feet away, just at the edge of the clearing. He had been tracking the lone rider for 2 days, ever since a man in a saloon had told him he recognized the outlaw. But Frank wanted to be sure the man squatting over the fire was the right man. When the man stood up and half turned, Frank was sure.
Vaca!
You're going to backshoe me, Morgan?
I'll give you a chance, Vaca. A better chance than you gave the woman and the boy.
I never touched that boy, Morgan. I ain't that type. I done the woman some, but not the boy.
Are they still alive?
They was when I pulled out 3 days ago.
Why did you leave the gang?
Jack Rice rode into camp and joined up with Curly Lewis and Booger Bob and the others. Me and Jack don't get on at all.
There's more, Vaca. Tell it all.
Jack claimed the woman for himself. Freckles give her up right off the bat. No argument. And you know what happens to a woman with Jack.
Why didn't you kill him, Vaca? You know what he's gonna do to her.
Wasn't none of my affair, Morgan.
You son of a bitch. Name them all, Vaca.
Goody, Big Thumb, Sam. I told you the rest. Donny Carter and Heaps might have joined them by now. I ain't sure.
My gun's in leather, Vaca. You wanna try it now? It's gonna be your only chance.
Breed Vaca turned and grabbed for his pistol. Frank looked over at the body of Breed Vaca, no emotion in his gaze. One more piece of shit removed from society. Frank picked up the trail of Jack and the others and followed it southeast. Along the way, Frank found a bit of torn dress and torn pieces of undergarments. Then he found the body of Johnny Witter. About 25 feet from the body of the tortured boy, he found the body of Laura. Both the boy and his mother were naked, and they had been used badly. Frank buried the boy and his mother side by side and covered the graves with rocks. Then he stood over the graves, hat in hand, trying to think of some words to say. He finally remembered some lines about walking through the valley of death and said them.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Not this time.
Frank followed relentlessly, staying constantly alert for an ambush. Then it dawned on Frank where the outlaws might be heading. An old ghost town east and some south of the town of Bakersfield. As a town, it hadn't lasted long, maybe 5 or 6 years. But there was good water there, and Frank had been told that the buildings were still intact. He couldn't recall the name of the ghost town, not that it mattered. He was sure that was where Jack was leading the gang. Frank rode up to a general store and swung down. He had to rest Stormy and the pack horse, and he needed some food and rest himself. Wolf plopped down in the shade of the building. Frank walked into the small saloon side and came face to face with Sam Semple standing at the bar. Sam froze at the sighting. His elbows were on the bar, and he knew if he moved an inch, Frank's peacemaker would roar.
Sam.
I broke with the gang, Morgan. I ain't looking for no trouble.
But you were there when the boy and his mother were tortured and killed, Sam.
Yeah, I was, Morgan, but I didn't have no hand in it.
You could have stopped it.
Well, how, Morgan? One man against half a dozen?
Did you even try to stop it?
Morgan, listen to me. I couldn't have stopped it.
I could have, if I'd been in your boots.
Why, I ain't you, Morgan.
Did you have a hand in raping the woman?
Yes, damn you. I did. It was... I had to. The others would have laughed at me if I didn't. You have to understand that.
So they would have laughed at you for being decent one time in your miserable life.
Hell yeah! It was a man thing, Morgan.
Men don't rape and torture women and little boys, Sam.
Are you really Frank Morgan? In my store?
You believe in God, Sam?
You're damn right I do. Why?
Because you're about to meet him.
Morgan, the others is going to that old ghost town south of Bakersfield. Don't me telling you that count for nothing?
My lord, Frank Morgan in my store?
I'm fast, Morgan. I can take you. Don't force me to draw on you.
Consider yourself forced, Sam.
I don't want to have to kill you, Morgan.
Oh, you won't, Sam.
Damn you, Morgan! You just don't understand what happened. All of them pressures that was on me.
I could maybe get the county sheriff out here, but that'd take a couple of days.
We don't need him.
Yeah, we do. Get him. I'll surrender to him.
Sam, you are without a doubt the yellowest, slimiest, most cowardly piece of dog shit I ever laid eyes on.
I don't have to take that from you or no man, Morgan.
Then do something about it, Sam.
Hell with you, Morgan. You want to kill me? Go ahead. But I'll tell you something before you do. That woman, she was some kind of fine poke. I especially like the way she begged and hollered. And then she got to praying. That was funny. She was on her knees. But not in the praying position, if you know what I mean. Oh, we all got some laughs out of that. As for the boy, Freckles said he was just about the sweetest piece of ass he ever...
That's enough!
Fuck you! You never get them other boys, Morgan. They'll kill you. And I'm glad.
Don't count on it, Sam. Where's his horse?
Out back, Mr. Morgan.
You can have it and all his gear if you bury him.
Oh, that sure sounds more than fair to me. I'll do it, sir. I promise I will.
I'm going to provision up now. You want me to help you carry him out?
Oh, no, sir. I'll just drag him out back and plant him there.
Fine, you do that. You have a place where a man can bathe?
Yes, sir. But I ain't got no water heated for it.
I'll bathe in cold water then. Get some of this crud off of me.
All right, sir.
Then I want something to eat.
Oh, I got salt pork and taters.
Coffee?
Oh, yes, sir. Lots of coffee. And I got some biscuits I made this morning.
That'll do.
I'll get started. Say, I think that dead man has some money on him, Mr. Morgan.
Keep it. It's yours.
Oh, that's right. Nice of you. What do I tell the sheriff or the deputies if they come by?
Tell them his name is Sam Semple. They'll know who he is. Or was.
The next night, Frank made a lonely camp near a spring. After letting the horses roll and drink, Frank hobbled them on some graze and then fed Wolf. He put on water to boil for coffee and fried some salt pork and potatoes. Wolf came to him and lay down by his side. Frank put a hand on the big cur's head.
Won't be long now, Wolf. And I got me an idea about where to go next. I know of a valley down in New Mexico that's so pretty it'll take your breath away. It's in the mountains, and it's isolated. We just might be able to make that place a home. Would you like that?
Frank turned his head, and Wolf grabbed a piece of bacon out of Frank's plate and ran off into the shadows.
Help yourself, why don't you? Wind must have shifted. Smells like somebody nearby is fixing up some coffee and bacon, too. Probably just over that ridge. You stay here, boy. I'm gonna do me a little reconnoitering. Take it easy, boys.
I knew he'd find us, Donnie!
Shut up, Hibbs. You ain't killing me without a fight, Morgan.
Why would I want to kill you?
I didn't kill that woman or that boy. I done the woman some, but I didn't kill her.
How about you, Hibbs?
I didn't touch neither one of them. I don't hold with raping women or abusing children.
That's the truth, Morgan. He ain't lying about that.
You both were there when they were killed?
Yeah, and I ain't proud of that.
I told you, Morgan. We didn't kill neither of them. There was Freckles who done the boy and Jack Rice who done the woman, not us. Or shut up with that damn blubbering. It ain't manly.
I'll never get that sight out of my mind. It was awful. I hope to God I never see nothing like it again.
Shut up, damn it!
Let him talk.
I don't know if I can take you, Morgan, but by God, at least I'm gonna try.
Did I say anything about fighting you?
You ready, Morgan?
This doesn't have to be, Donnie. I...
Draw, goddamn you! Draw!
It's over, Donnie.
Oh, God
have you hips.
You gonna kill me too, Morgan?
No. See to your partner. I'm riding on.
Freckles Burton and Jack Rice are evil men, Morgan. Made me sick to my soul what they done to the woman and boy.
Oh, damn you, Morgan.
I'm gonna head on back to Nebraska. See if my pa needs some help on the farm.
Oh, you goddamn little-livered, yellow-bellied little pussy.
I think that's a good idea.
I'm done with this outlaw business. I was a fool to get mixed up in it.
At least you're smart enough to realize that.
I'm dying. And you two are talking about farming. God. Oh, ain't you got no laudanum, Morgan?
No.
Oh, I hope you burn in the hellfires forever, Morgan. I hope Jack Rice and Freckles shoot you full of hole. I hope...
I just want to tell you, Morgan, when I saw what those scumbags are doing to that woman and her son, I wanted to do something to stop them, but Goody Nolan held a gun on me toward the end. They all knew I wanted to kill those men. I rode out right after that. Donnie hooked up with me later.
I wish they'd have shot you, Hibbs. Oh, you're nothing but a yellow coward.
Right on, Hibbs. Go on back to your pa's farm and live a decent life. I'll take care of Donnie.
I don't need no second invite, Morgan. Thanks.
You gonna sit there drinking coffee and watch me die, Morgan?
I reckon so, Donnie.
You gonna bury me?
I'll plant you.
That's Whitey, Morgan.
From a ridge about 300 yards away, Frank studied the ghost town through the lenses of his field glasses. It certainly looked deserted, except for a small finger of smoke coming from the chimney of a building in the center of the old town.
We end this right here, right now. You stay here, mind the horses, boy.
Frank got his rifle and a canteen of water, slung a bandolier of ammunition across his chest, and headed for the old town. He would circle the town and come in from the south, a direction the outlaw scum he knew were waiting for him would not expect. It would probably take him a good 2 hours of careful going to reach the other end of town, for there wasn't a lot of good cover. Frank paused for a brief rest and counted 8 horses in the old livery corral. Figuring a couple of the animals were pack horses, that meant he was up against 6 guns. Frank began walking toward the front of the livery.
Morgan!
Frank ran to the livery's front and waited.
Morgan, you motherfucker, I'm...
Hey, Morgan! It's me, Goody Nolan! Can we make a deal?
Yeah, Goody, we can.
We can?
You bet. You stick a pistol in your mouth and pull the trigger. That way I won't have to shoot you.
That ain't a bit funny, Morgan.
That's the only deal you'll get from me, Goody.
Hey, Morgan. It's me, Big Thumbs Parker.
Frank located where the voice was coming from, the second floor of the old hotel. He wanted to keep Big Thumbs talking so he could pinpoint his location.
I hear you, Parker.
You don't want me, Morgan. I didn't kill that woman or the kid.
You were there and didn't stop it.
Yeah, I was. But I didn't kill neither of them. Besides, it wasn't none of my affair.
Goody Nolan decided to make a run for it. He didn't get far.
Dumb move, Goody. Just us left.
Hell with you, Morgan. You're crazy. That boy wasn't nothing to get all excited about. Hell, he liked what I done.
You're a damn liar, Freckles.
It's true, Morgan. I just got tired of his whining and broke his damn neck.
Hey, Morgan. It's me, Jack Rice. Your woman was praying and begging for you to come rescue her whilst I was pleasuring myself. When I commenced to skinning her, she really got to carry it on. That was fun.
Frank had left the livery and had run up behind the old stores to the saloon. That was where Freckles and Jack were. He slipped into the rear of the saloon and carefully made his way toward the front. The door from the rear was missing, and he could see Freckles and Jack near the front. Jack spun around and Frank shot him in the shoulder.
Now, Jack, I need you.
When Jack Rice regained consciousness a couple of hours later, he was tied belly down across a horse. His shoulder throbbed from Frank's bullet, but Jack had a hunch his shoulder wound wasn't what he should be worried about.
Morgan, where the hell are we?
In the desert.
I can see that. But why are we in the desert?
You'll find that out soon enough.
It's real uncomfortable riding this way, Morgan.
You're about to be a hell of a lot more uncomfortable, Jack.
What are you gonna do to me, Morgan?
Time to pay, Jack.
What the hell does that mean?
You'll find out.
Did you kill Freckles?
He was alive when I left him.
I thought you shot him in the back.
I guess my bullet went a little low, Jack. Hit him in the privates.
You shot off his privates?
Yeah, he's in a lot of pain when I left him.
You're a cruel man, Morgan.
You're a great one to be talking about being cruel, Jack.
Jack said no more until Frank reined up and cut the ropes that held Jack belly down across the saddle.
I'll walk out of here and hunt you down, Morgan.
No, Jack. You're not gonna walk anywhere. Not ever again. Tell me about Laura, Jack.
You'll let me live if I do?
You'll be alive when I ride out, Jack.
You swear?
I swear.
Me and the boys got all the good out of her we could. And then I killed her.
Tell it all, Jack.
She had nice titties. So I decided to skin one and make me a pouch of some sort. But she was thrashing around so much I messed it up. I got tired of hearing her scream, so I killed her. You said you'd let me live.
I sure did, Jack.
Frank shot Jack Rice first in one knee, then the other.
You blowed off my kneecaps, Morgan. I can't walk. You crippled me, you bastard. Oh, God, the pain is terrible. Can I have a drink of water, Morgan?
No.
No, you're not a decent man, Morgan.
Probably not, Jack.
Oh, God, I'll get you for this.
I'm sure you're right about that.
I can't stand this pain, Morgan. I never hurt so bad in my life.
Good, Jack. Pain is good for the soul.
You're gonna leave me out here, ain't you, Morgan?
That's right, Jack.
I'll die out here, Morgan. I can't walk. I can't use my legs.
That's a real shame, Jack.
Frank looked up into the cloudless blue of the sky. Black dots were circling. He smiled. Jack followed his eyes.
Them buzzards, Morgan. You know what they do to a man.
You're not a man, Jack.
Them buzzards. Them buzzards will tear my guts out whilst I'm still alive.
Sure will, Jack.
You son of a bitch.
Frank swung into the saddle. The carrion birds were slowly circling, growing ever closer.
Don't leave me out here, Morgan. Give me a gun. Give me a gun so I can end it.
Not a chance.
God damn you.
He probably will, Jack.
Take me into town. Have me arrested, Morgan. I'll confess to all I've done. I swear to you I will.
No way.
I don't want to die this way, Morgan.
I'm sure you don't.
Morgan! Them ugly bastards is getting closer.
They sure are, Jack.
You can't let me die this way, Morgan.
I'm sure Laura and the boy didn't want to die the way they did either.
I'm sorry about them, Morgan. I truly am sorry.
You're a damn liar.
Morgan! Them stinking buzzards are so close I can hear them and smell them. You gotta help me. Please. Please, I'm begging you.
Like Laura begged, Jack.
Morgan! For God's sake! Help me! Oh, Jesus! Get these stinking things off me! Morgan! Morgan!
The Last Gunfighter Imposter is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2002, William W. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, James Lewis, David Coyne, Dylan Lynch, Thomas Penny, Eric Messner, Michael Glenn, Scott McCormick, Andy Clements, Nanette Savard, Richard Rowan, Stephen Carpenter, Christopher Graybill, Tom Simpson, Michael John Casey, Lily Beacon, Mort Shelby, Peter Stray, Sherry Simpson, Elizabeth Demery, Bobby Aselford, and Johann Detweiler. Directed by Ken Jackson. Book adapted for Graphic Audio by Timothy Lynch. Dialogue editing by Johann Detweiler. Graphic Audio sound design and original music by Johann Detweiler and Brian Patton. Title theme by Johann Detweiler. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed The Last Gunfighter, be sure to look for the First Mountain Man series, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com. Keep listening for previews of other Graphic Audio thrillers.
The following previews are of Graphic Audio productions rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Harris Serrano, captain of the armed civilian yacht Sweet Delight, has successfully defended the agricultural world Xavier from an attack by raiders. Now, a fleet battle group, led by Commodore Deccan Garavay, has arrived to assist in the defense. But Harris has suspicions about the Commodore.
You think he's turned?
We have to stop them.
If you're wrong about any of it...
then I'm dead.
Ah, Captain! Or may I call you Harris? What was it you wanted to talk to me about?
Well, Commodore...
Attention, all personnel. This is Commander Harris Serrano, now acting captain of this vessel.
There's something jumping in.
Engage.
Meanwhile, on the planet Patchcock, Ronnie, George, and Rafaela are on a secret mission to investigate the murder of the daughter of a wealthy family.
So you think Otala knew something she wasn't supposed to know?
You need to mind your own business.
You killed Otala?
No, you don't.
Is he dead? What about the weapon?
Drop that weapon! Get on the floor! Move!
You won't believe this. They're under arrest for murder and attempted sexual assault.
Serrano Legacy, Book 3, Winning Colors, Part 2. From Graphic Audio.
Justice League of America, The Flash, stop motion.
All the victims experienced massive head trauma, and their brains appear to have been exploded from the inside out by something that can either exist in multiple locations at once or is moving at super speed.
It's fast.
What is this thing you're dealing with that shaves off a man's skull?
I don't think it's human.
He's done it, hasn't he?
I was using human DNA. I expected a human result.
It is harvesting. It is following its first imperative.
You guessed right, Wally. All the victims tested positive for the metagene. All of them were potential superheroes.
It will keep looking and killing until it finds the donor who provided the DNA that was its root stock.
In fact, it's faster than me.
Copyright 2008 DC Comics. Justice League of America, The Flash, and all related names, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics. 2008 DC Comics. All rights reserved.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.